take your Bible and go to Proverb 27. And like this morning's message, this proverb is a challenge to outline. So we're going to take it verse by verse and have some thoughts and do some cross-referencing along the way. In the notes you have probably the verses already written out for you with the notes that follow. In Proverb 27, verse 1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. The idea here being of the boasting concept of an arrogant, a pride. I have everything under control. I'm making my own way. I'm doing my own thing. I'm making my own choices. Well, the Bible talks about that. I have some references there for you. But let's go over to Luke chapter 12. And a couple of passages I want to look at in the New Testament that reference what we just read in one form or another. In Luke chapter 12, verse number 19, our Lord is talking here, and he says, "And I say unto my soul," or he's quoting this farmer has had his ground produce plentifully. Verse 16, he spake a parable unto them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully." The man is already rich. Now his ground has brought forth more. So he's finding great confidence and security in not only what he had, but now the great gain that he has received. He says in this passage, this ground brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself and saying, "What shall I do? Because I have no room where to store my fruits." And that's a businessman. He's thinking ahead. I don't want to lose my crop. I don't want to lose the future income from this. So I've got to make adjustments. Nothing wrong with that. So he says, "This will I do," verse 18, "I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods." And again, this is a wise business decision. His present facility is inadequate, so he expands it. We see this all the time in successful business. But then we find he says, "I will say to my soul," or "I'll sit back and look at my great wealth and what I have, and I will say, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." And again, there's nothing wrong with this man having worked hard, prepared hard, harvested his crop, to now to take a break. Take some vacation time. Go on a trip. Enjoy some of the fruit of his labor with the money that he's received. Nothing wrong with that. But it's the mindset, it's the attitude. "My soul, I'll say this, I've got it made. I have taken care of everything, and I'm good to go for a long time. But God said to him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Here's a man whose life was consumed with himself. A great businessman. Knew how to do his business well, knew how to plant crops, knew how to harvest them, knew how to take care of them so he would get the best return for his investment. Nothing wrong with that. But now we see that his attitude is such that this is all about me. I have everything under control. And God says, "Gentlemen, you're a fool." Go over to James chapter 4, a very familiar passage. We've read this time and again, one place or another, or heard it preached on, James chapter 4, verse 13. He says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain." Again, there's nothing wrong in making plans. And there's nothing wrong in a business to lay out a purposeful chart for the future, where you want to go with your business, how you want to accomplish the tasks or goals that you've set for the business. Nothing wrong with that. And so this is said. And this is what we see. "Whereas ye know not what shall be on tomorrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." This first verse in Proverb 27 is talking about this element of pride. I have several quotes here for you. I'm going to skip the first three and come down to the fourth one. You may read the others at your own time. But the fourth one says, the greatest fault is to be conscious of none. Pride. Dwight Moody said, God sends no one away empty except those who are full of themselves. I thought this was an interesting one. Pride's like a beard. You ladies don't understand this, but we men do, especially if we don't like having facial hair and we want to keep a clean-shaven face. Pride's like a beard. It just keeps growing. The solution, shave it every day. And then the last one, pride made the soul desert God, to whom it should cling as the source of life, and to image itself instead as the source of its own life. This is what happened with Adam and Eve. You don't need God. You don't need to follow God. You just need that tree over there. That tree will make you much wiser than you are, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Pride. Pride. We come to verse 2. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. Again, let's look at this New Testament reference. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. First of all, verse 12, and then verse 18. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Notice that which one compares themselves with. It's not with God, it's with some other person. One sinner comparing themselves with another sinner. The problem with that is you're always going to find somebody uglier than you, and you're going to find somebody better looking than you. You're going to find someone more intelligent than you and someone less intelligent than you. You're going to find someone poorer than you and richer than you. But when you measure yourself by God's standard, we have the supreme standard there. And that's the guideline, the standard by which we are to measure up to according to what the Scripture teaches. So when we compare ourselves with our other people, as the proverb says, let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. In verse 18 of 2 Corinthians 10, for not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. I could go around commending myself all day long, but if I don't have God's commendation, my commendation of myself, no matter what my accomplishment, is worthless. Back in Proverb, number three, a stone is heavy, and the sand is weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than both of them. Proverbs 17:12 says, let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man rather than a fool in his folly. There are, on some of these channels on TV, you can get programs about people living in Alaska. And one of the programs you can watch, usually not just one, but several, one of the things they're always watching out for are bears, because of the threat that they can be toward mankind. And when they find a mama bear and her baby bears, they are very, very careful to stay away from those two totally, because of the reaction that mama could have when she feels like her young bear is being challenged or in danger. God's word says in this verse, let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man, rather than a fool in his folly. A fool in his folly can often be deceptive and lead someone into error. But when you're facing a bear with her baby, you know your life's in danger and you know to get away. But with a foolish person, unless you have the wisdom of the Lord and you're walking with the Lord, we are apt to be led into error. And we must be aware of that. We must be careful of that. Verse 4, wrath is cruel, anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? I have a reference there in Proverbs chapter 6. You can look up later, but the word envy here is the word jealousy. Jealousy includes wrath and anger, and the average person is unable to stand against it when attacked by it. Jealousy can be a very cruel and dangerous thing. Verse 5 and 6, open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. In Ephesians 4, verse 11 through 16, you can look those up later. It talks about God has given us people to help hone us as Christians to give us what we need from the Word to be the people of God that He has called us to be. And we have a responsibility to heed the truth that is being proclaimed by those people whom God has appointed. Because those people are messengers of love. Those people are friends that desire to help us. And sometimes that help includes a wound, especially when we're confronted about our sinful behavior. But we have an obligation to follow the teaching of God's Word. The full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul everything is sweet. Verse 8, as a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. You know, you go off and somewhere and you get in a strange town and maybe get in a downtown area and you're looking for gas. You don't know where you are. Your gas gauge is low. You don't feel comfortable with the community you find yourself in. But yet you've got to stop and get gas. And when you do, you stop. You're looking all around. You're just very apprehensive. You're very uncomfortable because you're out of a familiar and comfortable environment. Here we find that surrounded by friends and family, one has the benefit of wise counsel and corrective rebuke. To walk from that nest is to expose oneself to danger. And that's a quote from J.E. Smith. Verse 9, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend with hearty counsel. The advice of a friend is a valuable possession. Verse 10, thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not, neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity. For better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off. In an emergency, a neighbor who is near may be more benefit than a family member far away. For this reason, one should cultivate friendship with those who live nearby. One does not control who their family members are. A friend, however, is chosen, and we should choose our friends wisely. My son, be wise and make my heart glad, that I may answer him that reproacheth thee. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. In these two verses, we find reasons to heed the wise. Loving counsel from friends or family. First of all, such conduct would make the heart of the teacher glad. That is, it would give him personal satisfaction. So when someone instructs another person and they see that person follow that instruction, they've given it to them with love and compassion in an effort to see them go in the right direction. And when they see them follow that counsel, it brings encouragement to the instructor. You Sunday school teachers know that. You know what it's like. And you give instruction to the people that you teach. Verse 2, wise conduct on the part of the son that's mentioned here would also serve to silence critics who might question the qualifications. My son, be wise and make my heart glad, that I may answer him that reproacheth me. And third, wisdom teaches prudence. And prudence avoids dangers. So this son is receiving instruction, and thereby following that instruction, it's given to help him do what's right and avoid harm to himself. And when he follows that instruction, he ultimately escapes a lot of danger and potential hazards that probably he never knows he would have faced otherwise. I'd rather not know of the danger that I could have faced by going the path that I should go. I'm not one who wants to have a sense of adventure and live life on the edge. Verse 13, take his garment that is surety for a stranger and take a pledge of him for a strange woman. We are to avoid becoming liable for those whom we do not know. Several verses in Proverbs talk about this. Verse 14, he that blesseth his neighbor with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it shall be counted a curse to him. So here's this guy, he gets up real early in the morning and he's all excited about bragging about how good the other person is. Well, the other person's still asleep. They don't want to be awakened to this, especially when this person is just yelling it from the top of their voice. Or, you know, they're just being obnoxious with it. And everybody that is around is hearing them brag about how good this person is. Don't become obnoxious to those who choose to be your friend. Treat them with respect. If we value friendship, we will do what we can and should do to preserve that friendship and not hinder it. Verse 15 and 16, a continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Whosoever hideth her, hideth the wind, and the ointment of his right hand, which bereath itself. The ESV says this, to restrain her, about verse 16, is to restrain the wind, or to grasp oil in one's right hand. You ever tried to hold oil, pour baby oil in your right hand and just keep it there? It runs between your fingers, and it gets away. And obviously we can't grasp the wind. Verse 15 and 16, the roofs of the houses in the east were ill constructed. Being flat and porous, they were subject to severe leakage. The nagging woman drives the family away. The character of such a woman cannot be hidden from the neighbors any more than the wind can be confined or the smell of ointment camouflaged. This woman would only raise her voice the louder if she thought that her husband was anxious for others not to hear her. Ladies, I'm not picking on you, just telling you what this verse says. Verse 17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. A friend is supposed to sharpen or make that person better. Therefore, choose your friends wisely. If you're going to call someone a friend, make sure that they are a friend that will lead you or guide you or sharpen you for the good, not for the evil. Verse 18, whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof, so he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. 19, as in water face answereth to face, so the heart of a man to a man. Matthew Poole has this in his commentary, says, as the face of a man standing by the waters is visible not only to himself, but to others by the shadow or image of it in the waters, so the heart of a man is in some measure discernible, not only to himself, but to others also who observe his temperament and demeanor. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of a man never satisfied. As the refining pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. The NLT says, fire tests the purity of silver and gold, but a person is tested by being praised. Verse 22, though thou shouldest bewray a fool in a mortar among wheat with a pestle, yet will not his foolishness depart from him. A mortar was a bowl made of fired clay or carved stone. A pestle was a stone or fired clay rod with a round tip. The worker would put a small amount of grain, hulled barley in this case, into the mortar, into the bowl, and pound it and grind it until it became meal or flour. Now, foolishness taints every molecule of a fool. And that's from the Holman Christian Study Bible. Proverbs 27:22 in the NLT says, you cannot separate fools from their foolishness, even though you grind them like grain with mortar and pestle. You know, it's a tragedy that a fool cannot be separated from his foolishness. And again, going back to where we are in America, we're seeing this very, very real in public politics. That's why we need to pray for America. We need to pray that God would put in some people in leadership who aren't so foolish, because those who are foolish, according to scripture definition, are going to continue to do foolish things and make foolish decisions and lead America down the path of destruction. Verse 23, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds, for riches are not forever, and doth the crown endure to every generation. The hay appeareth, and the tender grass showeth itself, and herbs of the mountains are gathered. The lambs are for thy clothing, and the goats are the price of the field. And thou shalt have goat's milk enough for thy food, for the food of thy household, and for the maintenance of thy maids. Be a wise steward of the things that God has entrusted to your care, and do not assume they will always be there. As you wisely use them, you will have what you need for yourself and those for whom God has made you responsible. A lot of thoughts in this proverb, a lot of different subject matters discussed. I tried my best to put it in an outline form. This was the best I could come up with. I hope something's been said that'll be an encouragement to your heart. Father, we want to serve you. At times you give us proverbs like this, and there's so many things to consider. And our small minds cannot comprehend all of it. So we pray that your Spirit would speak to us about what it is in this proverb that we need to mind and concern ourselves with. Lord, how great it will be if each one of us can find a principle from this proverb to study on, to meditate on, to practice this week, that we might be better servants for you. Help us, Lord, as we leave this place this afternoon, to glorify you by all we say and do. And if it be your will, bring us back at our next appointed time, ready for worship and ready to praise you for what you are and what you've done. And we ask this in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus.